Well, good morning. Yes, today, as we know, is Resurrection Sunday, right? What's really cool about it, well, among all the religions of the world, we are the only one that serves an empty grave, right? We're the founder of the religion, if you want to call it that, which it really isn't, but is risen, right? All the other ones are, you can go find their tomb and go visit their tomb and maybe think about the good things they said and whatever, but ours, our Lord and our Savior rose from the dead. And that's what makes him the one that we worship. So, Lord Jesus, we just want to come to you today and pray that you would open our hearts. See, the living God is here with us. Jesus, come and open our hearts that we may hear your words today and respond to you. Last week, Paul started and shared a little bit with us about Passover and how the Old Testament, in the Old Testament with the Israelite people coming up out of Egypt and how that represented, was a picture of who Christ is and dying for us. And so I wanted to continue a little bit with that today, and then I'm going to break off and share a little personal testimony. But I wanted to start with Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. And it talks about in here, starting around verse 3 or 4, it says that the earthly priest offers a gift according to the law, which serves as a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. You see, everything that we talk about in the Old Testament, we love to use the stories of the Old Testament because it's a picture of what we have in the Spirit. It's just a copy or a shadow of the real thing. And the real thing is heavenly things. And so if we read through this, it says, I'll start at verse 3, it says, "For every priest is appointed to offer both gift and sacrifice. Therefore, it was necessary that the one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there is priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was to make the temple, to make the tabernacle. For he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain.' But now he," that's Christ, "has obtained a more excellent ministry, in as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been established with a better promise." See, Jesus is both the gift, is both the giver of the gift and the gift. See, the priest brings the gift, and he offers, the high priest would come once a year, according to the law, he'd come once a year and sacrifice for his own sins, and then he would bring the blood of the unblemished lamb into the inner sanctuary, and he would put it on the altar in the inside, and that was for a whole year that it would be for the people. But they had to do it year after year because it was just a copy. It was just a shadow of things to come. And so now we have Jesus, and he is both the high priest, right? He's both the high priest who brings the offering, and he's also the sacrificed lamb. So he becomes both in the real copy, and not the real copy, but the real thing. He is both the high priest and the sacrifice, and he shed his blood for our sins. So with that, we also see that Jesus is both the high priest and the king. We say he's the King of Kings. And in the copy, they always separated the high priest from the kings. And if they mixed it all, God was very upset. And that happened with Ezra. Ezra decided he was a good king, but later in his life he got prideful and he decided he wanted to be part of the priests too. And so he went into the temple with incense to sacrifice to the Lord, and the high priest approached him and rebuked him and said, "You cannot do this," because he was the king. He was not the high priest. And what God did is he immediately, when he was rebuked, got leprosy, and then he lived the rest of his life separate from his family. So God was very concerned that the priest, the high priest, and the king could not be the same person. But that was in the copy. In the real thing, Jesus is both the high priest, our high priest, he is our mediator of a better covenant, and he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says in Hebrews also that Jesus is both the apostle and the high priest of our confession. See, Jesus is one who is sent by the Father as the apostle to bring the good news to us, to tell us what he was going to do as being the high priest and sacrificing himself, and on the third day he would raise from the dead. He's both those things, and that's just such a beautiful thing that Jesus is also the mediator of the new covenant. And this is why we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, because it is the only thing that the one main thing that demonstrates everything that Jesus said why he was here on earth is true. Because no one can predict his own death. A man could predict his own death because everyone's going to die, but no one predicts his resurrection, because only by the power of God can that happen. So I wanted to share a little story. When I was starting around ninth grade, you start to get a little more freedom in your life when you become around 9 years, or in ninth grade, 13 or 14. And when, I was going to high school now, and my class started to have parties. So I remember going to my mom and saying, would it be okay if I went to the party? And she knew that most likely it would be some things that were not particularly good to go to, because it was this type of party. But she just said, "Well, Wayne, I won't tell you no, but I'd rather if you didn't." But I decided I would go. And so I remember going to the party when I was in ninth grade, and they had a little bit of beer, and they were a little awkward in what they were doing. But generally, I was one who liked to observe things. I would sit back and watch, and generally in this party they had a pretty good time. So, as the years went by, I remember going to another party when I was in 10th grade, and now they're a little bit older, they're a little more conditioned to the things they want to do as a party. So there was quite a bit more beer and drinking going on, and there were boyfriend girlfriend relationships going on and all this type of thing, and I was there observing, and I noticed they were drinking more and they were having less fun, right? They were sometimes mean to each other and not getting along and what was going on. So what I realized is, in what I was doing, I was thinking in myself that You know, I grew up as a young man, as a going to church, and I was thinking, well, you know, maybe I can just figure out, you know, what's going on, and I can get a little close to the fire. How close to the fire can I get without getting burnt? You know, I mean, that was the, you know, the general thinking in my head. You know, was, you know, I can enjoy a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you know, if I don't get too close, I won't get burned, and I can enjoy my freedom, right? So I remember 11th year came around, and now it was just totally drinking and getting drunk, and it was carrying on to, you know, other things that were going on. And I remember my brother liked to go, and he would get drunk. So he liked it that I would come, because I would be his designated driver, because I didn't drink, but, you know, so I would drive him home. I remember one night, you know, Saturday night, I was driving home, and he got sick he started to get sick, and I stopped the car on a corner, and he opened up the car and chucked all over the road, and so the next day when we were going to church, we had to drive around that spot, you know, where, you know, so it was like, you know, remembering, you know, like, you know, okay, this was last night, now I'm going to church, you know, so this was, you know, how close, you know, to the fire do I get before I get burnt, right? So here I am, you know, trying to, you know, maybe, you know, living on both sides of the street, so to speak, and going through my life and wondering, you know, who I was, you know, because some of the things I started to realize is that, you know, what was my identity? See, I started to lose my identity as a you know, as a young man who wanted to serve the Lord versus one who wanted to party, you know. So my identity started to get confused. You know, who was I? You know, how was I going to live? The other thing I noticed that started to happen is that I was losing my spiritual authority, you know, as I started to live in a little bit in the world and a little bit in church, you know, then I had no authority. So if I prayed, you know, well, why would God even listen to me, you know? So there was no authority there. If I wanted to pray for somebody for a problem they had, you know, I didn't feel like, well, why would God listen to me, you know? So I had no faith. I had no authority because of living on two sides, you know, and so so this is, you know, what I was walking through some of my high school. And then the last thing I started to really think about was, well, where am I going? You know, what's my destiny? You know, where would I end up if I keep following the ways of the world and maybe going and you know, and I started to realize that the way they were living, you know, what started off maybe as a good time now had become, you know, something where the women, the girls in the group were being treated very badly, and the guys were just, you know, all up in arms and, you know, wanting to play with their beer cans, and it's just this attitude that begins to come out of that environment. And so the environment at school was really weird because of, you know, thinking about their next party and what they were going to do and who they were going to take advantage of. And so, you know, what was my destiny? Where was I going? Was I going to go towards that, or was I going to try to serve the Lord? So, fortunately, when I became a senior, the Spirit of the Lord started to be poured out, and I met there was a couple people in my class who had started going down to Johnstown to what they called the Jesus Freaks, and they were actually Christians that really wanted to serve the Lord, and for the first time in my life I met a couple Christians who were actually happy. And so I was really impressed with them. So I would ask them questions, you know, like, you know what? You know what? Why are you happy? You know what? What are you? Well, we're excited about what Jesus did and who he was. Well, I know all about him, but I'm not excited about that, you know. And so I started to realize that they had life and I didn't have life. So why I wanted to share that is that, you know, there's a story that Jesus told, and it's in Luke chapter 15. It's about the prodigal son. And it says that this son, you know, actually he ends up shaming his father, asking his father for his inheritance before he dies. And then he takes the inheritance and leaves his father and breaks his relationship with his father and goes out and wastes his life together, life, with all the riches that his father gave him. And there he is now. He loses his money. There's a famine that happens. You can read the story. And he finally wakes up one day. He wakes up and says, you know, at least my father's servants at home have bread to share, and I have nothing but what the pigs are eating. So he finally wakes up and he gets up and he says, I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to tell my father. And he rehearses what he's going to say, and he says two things that are so important. First, he realizes that his sin is first and primary against God. And then secondly, he realized that his main earthly sin is against his father. So he's going to go report this back to his father. So he does that, and as he's coming back, the father sees him from a distance and runs out to meet him. Even though the father was shamed, he shames himself again in that culture. To an older man to run is shameful. Like, what is wrong? You know, you shouldn't be doing this. But he runs out to meet his son anyway, and his son speaks the words to them, and he kind of completely ignores his son, and he says to the servants, come, give my son a royal robe. Give him a new robe. And the robe comes, and it represents his identity. Because clothing always represents identity. We wear clothing all the time, you know, our buffalo shirts, you know, to identify ourselves as a buffalo. My grandchildren love the Buffalo Bills. You don't? Okay. So clothing represents, you know, your identity, and so he puts his father's identity back around him, and it covers him. It completely covers his heart and his soul. And that's the heart, the identification of the father back to him. And then he gives him a ring on his finger, which represents authority. He gives his son back the authority that he had lost. And then he puts sandals on his feet, which represents then the destiny that the son now reclaims. And this is a picture of what Christ has done for us if we have turned back to him. Because in a sense, we all come to him as a prodigal son. We all come to him in a place, even if we grow up in a Christian family and think we're living a Christian life, there's a place when we come to him and we lay down our old life and we say, I don't want to see how close I can get to the fire, Father, or fire. I just want to come closer to him. And when that happens, he gives us back our identity. That our identity becomes in Christ. And when he does that, we get the authority back, so that if we pray anything in his name, we know the Father listens to us. And then I get to walk my life knowing the destiny that he has given me as a son of God. And it's more than just what we do here on earth, but it's who we are and where we're going for all eternity. That is our destiny. And in those things, I became whole. I became one who is ready to live my life for the Lord and not for myself. So now it requires me laying my life down for Jesus as Jesus has laid down his life for me. And that is the gospel. That is the good news that we have, is that Jesus came and he sacrificed himself. He taught us all these good things, and then he laid down his life for us, for the gospel of salvation. And now he says, turn over your life to me and lay down your life for me, and then you are part of my kingdom. So this is what we celebrate today, in that it's Resurrection Sunday. And it's Resurrection Sunday not just for Jesus, but it can be Resurrection Sunday for all of us. As we give our lives and lay down our lives for him, he raises up our life and gives us that identity. He gives us that authority, and he gives us that destiny in him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.